Well, hello again. This is Joe Clark from the church at Briarfield, wishing you a very happy Resurrection Sunday. Of course, this is Saturday afternoon. Anthony and I are here in the auditorium. And I want to let you guys know that I'm missing you very much. It's made a change somewhat, I think, in the way I feel my spiritual life, because I miss you guys so much. It seems to resurrect everything for me every Sunday morning when I get to come to church and see all of you and talk to you. And by the time I get to preach, I'm kind of in the mood for everything. It's not the same when I'm in an empty room. It makes it a good bit harder. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I just miss you guys. I'm looking forward to the day that I can come back and we can all be back here together. As I've said, I don't think it's going to be the same normal as it was. For some of you who might hear this that are maybe not quite so internet savvy, Anthony and I recorded a message to you on Wednesday concerning some revelation I had gotten about this coronavirus and everything that's going on. And if you haven't heard that, excuse me, I think it would be valuable for you to go back and pull it up and hear it. But like I said, I miss you. I miss your voices. And I miss your testimonies. I miss the singing. And David, I want to tell you that you won't have to worry about ringing your bell in the morning, because at 9:30 on Resurrection Sunday morning, I will come down here and ring the church bell so that in spirit at least the whole community of Briarfield will know that we are having services. Just in an independent manner. Judy got a prayer request list up for me, and she's got at the top, "He is risen." She's a former cheerleader, you know. She's all about stuff like that. But Andrea's father is recovering from a broken ankle after he got rammed by a ram, a male sheep, I understand. I don't know all the details of it, but he seems to be doing better. And a word of praise for Vicky's friend, Jackie Haggard, with the virus. She's improved and they have sent her home, but she and her husband both have had it, and now they're on 2-week quarantine. And Joni Clark with the heart problem with a valve is back at home trying to get her strength back up. Another prayer request is also to pray for our nation and those dealing with the virus, our leaders, as they have difficult decisions to make, all in health care. Pray for your president. And for the leaders and for the coronavirus health team, that they may learn of this stuff and come up with vaccines and methods that we can deal with it and not have to deal with it for the next year or so. I do understand that their vaccines are way ahead of schedule, so maybe they'll not be too far in our future. So I would hope that you, in your own way, would celebrate this resurrection season and Resurrection Sunday of our Lord. It's an emotional time of year. It tends to bring out the emotions in us, Christmas does, at least I seem to think. We're a little bit more emotional about this Christian happening than some of the others. And that's what we'll talk about today, is about what this season can mean to us and what it can mean to God. But before we go there, in the second chapter of Philippians, let's pray first. Father, I thank you for this time of year. I thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability and the facilities to record these messages, that they might come in a timely fashion to our people, that maybe through your influence, not mine, that they would be moved spiritually, maybe even to make further commitments into you. They could learn of you more, be more aware of how much you care for them and what you're willing to do for them. We pray for these that we have on the prayer list, that you might deal with each one of those situations as you know how, within your will, and in accordance with your plan. So Lord, we would pray this morning for your forgiveness, for your mercy toward us, for your grace that we might be able to stand, as we said in the Wednesday message, that we might stand regardless of what situation we're put in, and be standing for you. So Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for giving us courage during this time when so many people have anxieties. We pray, Lord, that you might settle our minds, cause us to be still and know that you are God. Please forgive us for our sins. Thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. As I've said, at this time of the year, it has a tendency to bring out some emotions in us. Probably the emotion that first comes to our minds about Easter is this emotion called love, because we remember that in John 3:16 it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And the resurrection season is remembering that Jesus was born at Christmas, and then 33 years later was killed on that cross, and 3 days later arose again. And then in three or four days or so, he spent 40 more days on this earth talking to us, meeting with different people, showing us how to live our lives without Him in the flesh. So we think about that God so loved the world that He sacrificed His Son for us and for our sins. Maybe we could call this Easter love or Resurrection Day love. I don't know. But there is something else that I want to get across to everybody about this time of the year and about this thing called Resurrection Day. And not let it all be about love, because there's another part of this that God is very concerned about. And I don't want to take anything away from the expression that people have about Resurrection Day. But there's this thing called obedience. And I hope to show you today how this is a time of the year to where we remember that also. Because it was obedience that caused Jesus to agree to be killed on the cross. So in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, for those who wonder if we are commanded to be like Jesus, there it is right there. We're commanded to have His mind. And for so long, I didn't think we could. I didn't know that God intended for me to use His firstborn Son in the church as my mentor, as my example, as the thing that I'm supposed to be like. But as I got deeper into the Scriptures and studied, I found that Jesus was given the Holy Spirit at His baptism. And as we are given the Holy Spirit, it's the same Holy Spirit that He received, a part of God Himself that lives within us 24/7 once we're saved. And with that Holy Spirit, the same one Jesus had, we can do anything that Jesus did as long as God commands it. I always thought He was different than the rest of us. But I think I can show you with Scriptures where it says He wasn't. In verse 6, it says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Jesus was a God, but He did not think that being a God, like Jehovah God, was something to hold on to or to show or to promote to everyone, that it was okay. And in verse 7 it says, "But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant or a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus' obedience is what took Him to the cross. It was in the plan. I think probably He had to commit Himself to the whole program, maybe before He was even appeared on the earth in flesh and blood as a baby to Mary and Joseph. But it says He emptied Himself of all the privileges that He had when He was in heaven, took on the form of a slave, became like us, and He didn't mind doing it. He did not mind emptying Himself of all the glory and privileges He had in heaven before He came down here. He was willing to do that. And in verse 8, being like us, he humbled himself. Can you imagine what Jesus was like in heaven before he came to the earth and walked as flesh and blood? The position he had as God's only son and a part of God himself? He became obedient to God, even to death. You remember our sermons about him in the garden and how as he faced the cross, he asked his Father if there was any other way that he could accomplish what God wanted him to do. This was God's plan, and Jesus agreed to it. But Jesus was obedient to it because God said that was the only way. And so Jesus says, not my will, but thine be done. In another place, in I believe Luke 9:2, it says that we must deny ourselves in order to please Jesus. And that's what Jesus showed us how to do there. And he became obedient and allowed the leaders of the church to put him on a cross. The worst form of execution they had in those days, and was killed, and then rose again on the third day, which is what we're celebrating this week, that he might buy us off the slave block of sin and give us a way out. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What that means is be obedient. Be obedient. I don't have to go to the cross, I don't think. I don't believe that's in God's plan for me, but it was in God's plan for Jesus. But I am to be obedient unto death, even if that's the calling, just like Jesus was. For whatever God has for me and whatever call he calls me to do, I must do it. Just like Jesus was obedient. So it said, even unto the death of a cross. So to what extent, I ask myself, am I supposed to be obedient to God? If death was put before me, would that be something I could do? But at least I know that I'm supposed to be like Jesus and have the mind of Jesus. This cross in Jesus' life was the proof of his obedience. And if I have to bear a cross, whatever it may be, this day will be the proof of how obedient I am. Jesus was known by us, I think, for his love. But I think it's pretty apparent by the scriptures I'm about to show you that Jesus was known by God for his obedience. It says in 1 John, you will know them, that's us, that's Christians, by their love, it says. That people will know us by the love that we have that exceeds maybe what love is by other people. But as a group of people, we'll be known by our love. That emotion comes to us as Christians by living the Christian life really without any effort. Now we have to put out effort to show love sometimes to people that maybe we don't actually want to love. But the love that comes out of us is because that Jesus loved us and that God loves us, and we know that and that makes us capable of loving each other. So love comes without effort, because we are born again and we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit inside of us. But obedience is not like that. Obedience requires effort on our part. And because Jesus made an effort to be obedient to His Father and our God, we look at verse 9 of chapter 2 of Philippians. It says, wherefore. Now, what does that mean, wherefore? Wherefore means that because of this that you've just read, that He made of Himself of no reputation and took on Him the form of a slave and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore then, it says, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those things in heaven and those things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And one day, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. One day, that's going to come about, folks. One day, everyone that has been created by God will recognize that Jesus is the Savior of man and the Son of God. And they'll bow a knee to Him because of who He is and because of what He's done, and because of the place that God has given Him in this world, because of His obedience. In Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 8, it says, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. So God used the sufferings of Jesus to teach Him what this obedience was like. And Jesus did it. And being made perfect, in other words, being called back to heaven, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. So you see, there is a restriction here about who then that are given salvation by Jesus. It's those that obey Him. Now, the thing that comes to my mind is that we have a lot of people that I know, some of them, who are born-again believers. They believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They go to church on Sundays. They listen to sermons. They listen to teachers. They sing praises to God. But they don't understand this thing about being obedient to what Jesus has said. They hold on to a lot of things that they know that Jesus doesn't approve of. In their actions, they don't make the effort that Jesus did to be completely obedient to God. And maybe they don't understand that that's part of the plan too, that we have to be obedient. To them that obey Him, obedience is very important in God's scheme of things. In John 14 and 15, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now there's a question this brings to my mind. How many commandments do we know? He's not talking here about only the Ten Commandments. He's talking about everything that Jesus told us to do. And in order to keep those commandments, we've got to know those commandments. So that brings us to a place to where we need to have some type of study that we can learn what Jesus wants us to do. Because Jesus has told us that we need to be obedient. In 1 John, in chapter 2, in verse 3, this is more or less of a description of a born-again believer according to John. And hereby, verse 3, chapter 2 of 1 John, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. This is a way of self-evaluation. Do we know for sure that we're born again? Do we make a conscious effort? Does the Holy Spirit prompt us to keep his commandments? He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him, John says. So you can't always listen to what people say. You got to have some kind of knowledge of what they do. Are they keeping his commandments? Are they concerned about keeping his commandments? Do they still have a form of arrogance? Do they listen to their egos and their pride before they do Jesus? And verse 5 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. In other words, God showed his love to us by sacrificing his son for us that we might become Christians through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the way that God perfects his love toward us is in our obedience. The love of God is perfected by those who have been obedient to God by coming to salvation in Jesus, by listening and believing to the gospel, and in attempting to do what Jesus has told us to do in the scriptures. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So as we go, we are to go as Jesus went. We are to walk like Jesus walked. It has to do with behavior, not just walking, not just taking one step. It's about our behavior. We behave like Jesus behaved. We walk like he walked. So, we come down to this place. We're at the time of the year when people hear the word of God that don't hear it any other time of the year. I don't know whether we'll have that situation in this situation we have. But usually we expect people in church on Easter Sunday that are not here every Sunday. But I will take it that maybe there's someone out there today that's listening to me that has heard me talking about this, that we need to be saved. We need to be children of God, that God wants us to be saved, that He sent Jesus so that we might be saved, and that His blood was shed on that cross that for our sins, that we are born as an enemy to God, and to deal with that sin and the sins we will commit every day, Jesus died so that His blood might pay for that. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He was born and that He died and He was resurrected on the third day for us to take care of our sins, that we might become children of God. So you can pray that prayer. Lord, I've sinned, I know it, and I'm sorry, and I want You to save me. For my Bible tells me that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen to this. In 1 John 2:7, it says, the world passes away in the lust of it, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Listen to me, Christians and the unsaved alike. You want to get out of this world alive? The obeyers don't die. That's what that says. The obeyers don't die. I've listened to our brother Phil Robertson some, and I know that he has a normal way of dealing with people who use the Lord's name in vain, people, sinners who curse God, and he tells them, why in the world would you want to cuss the only person that can get you out of this world alive? And that because of that simple ministry and the awareness of what they're doing, that many people have come to Jesus. So I'm saying to you, do you want to get out of this world alive? There's only one way to do it. And that is to ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins and come to Him for salvation and become a child of God. That then, after being obedient once, you can be obedient every day by committing yourself to doing whatever Jesus tells you to do. Whatever is in His Word that He asks you to do as a Christian, that you would do it. Some of the things are very small things. Like Jesus said, if you give someone a drink of water in my name, you've done it for me. If you visit the sick, if you go to see somebody in jail, you've done it for me. Those are the kind of things that we're asked to do. To pray for one another and to hold each other up to God, that we might be made aware and meet the needs of each other, that we love each other even as we love ourselves, that we put ourselves below other people in our love for them, that we deny ourselves like Jesus did and do whatever the Father tells us to do, that we can further God's cause and not ours. So I say to you, on this resurrection day, in a situation where we're staying a lot by ourselves or with our immediate family, I say to you, this is special. This is a special remembrance of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He said the night before He was carried to the cross, that as much as we do the Lord's Supper, that every time we do it, every time we take up the glass and every time we break the bread, we do it in remembrance of Him. It has been customary around here that we did communion, that we did the Lord's Supper on Easter Sunday. I'll miss it this time, having it with you. But when we get back, we're going to do it. And we're going to remember Easter, Resurrection Day, with the Lord's Supper together, remembering Him. So I ask you now, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing, Christians, thank God for what all He's done for us, and the fact that He's still there watching over us and keeping us, protecting us and providing for us. And He does all those things. And for you who may not know Jesus as Savior, please listen to me. Turn your life over to Him. Ask Him sincere forgiveness for your sins. Become a Christian. Find you a church that the Holy Spirit might direct you to, and when we are allowed to, congregate with God's children, your brothers and sisters, your kinfolks in Christ, that one day we all may see Jesus in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time of remembrance. We thank You for these scriptures that You've shown us that obedience is very, very important in this thing about the cross and about Jesus dying. He was obedient, so we must be obedient. Give us the strength to be obedient, Lord, like You want us to. Also, show us what You want us to do. Make us learn the things that You ask us to do, that we can please You in our lives and live like You want us to live. Protect us now as we live in a time of a little anxiety. Bring us back together again when it is Your will to do so. And protect us, Lord, until it's that time. Thank You, Jesus, for all that You did for us and for being willing to go to a cross and to die for all of us. Because it's in Your name that we pray. Amen.